Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring AI for innovation, creativity, and problem solving. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill. So I want you to imagine for a moment that you're tasked with inventing just a completely new product.
Right, from scratch.
Yeah, exactly, from scratch. You sit down with your coffee, you stare at a blank screen, and you start trying to, like, pull an original idea out of thin air.
Which is, you know, incredibly intimidating.
It really is. But meanwhile, your competitor across town has just generated, I don't know, 10,000 viable, structurally sound product concepts in the exact time it took you to pour that cup of coffee.
Yeah, that changes the game entirely.
All right, so how do you even compete with that? Like, what is your role in a digitally transformed future where that initial spark of an idea is, well, it's no longer the bottleneck?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
And it completely reframes the value of human intellect, honestly, because we spent centuries placing this immense value on the act of generation. You know,
it's just creating something from absolutely nothing.
Exactly. But in a digitally enabled future, generation is cheap. It's practically free. The true currency of the future workplace is going to be curation, synthesis, and judgment.
Okay, so let's unpack this, because if I'm looking at how I use digital tools today, it's really easy to fall into a specific trap.
Right.
We tend to view AI as this, like, incredibly fast, perfectly obedient research assistant. You ask it a question and it runs to the library, finds the factual answer, and hands you this perfectly formatted report.
See, I'm actually going to push back on that analogy right away.
Oh, really? Why?
Because calling it a research assistant implies a dedication to factual truth and logical boundaries.
AI.
Particularly these large language models. They operate very differently.
How so?
Well, it's much more accurate to think of it as a chaotic high-speed brainstormer. It has absolutely no filter and no real-world constraints.
Okay, so it's less of a meticulous librarian and more of, like, an energetic colleague who just drank 5 espressos and is shouting out every thought that crosses their mind.
Exactly. That is a perfect way to put it. And to understand why that's actually a massive advantage for problem solving, you have to look at the underlying mechanism of how it works.
Right, the technology behind it.
Yeah. These models don't think the way you and I do. They map language mathematically in this high-dimensional space.
High-dimensional space. That sounds a bit sci-fi.
I know, it sounds super technical. But basically, every concept, every word, every idea is assigned a specific mathematical location. So words that appear together frequently, like, say, coffee and mug, they are located really close together in this space.
Okay, I follow that. They're neighbors.
Right. But because the AI has processed vast swaths of human knowledge, it can find these probabilistic pathways between incredibly distant concepts.
Ah, I see where this is going. So if I asked it to combine aerospace engineering and sustainable agriculture.
Yes, exactly. It's literally drawing a mathematical line between those completely different neighborhoods of human knowledge.
Wow. Okay.
What's fascinating here is that it finds connections that a human brain just wouldn't. We're constrained by traditional logic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And industry silos. We would almost never attempt to make those jumps.
Because it just seems too weird to us.
Right. But the AI just predicts the statistical relationship and outputs a concept that blends them. That's actually why it occasionally hallucinates or gives you answers that are just logically absurd.
Right, because it's just navigating probabilities, not physical reality.
Exactly. But that exact same mechanism is what allows it to generate brilliantly novel ideas.
Yeah.
It forces lateral thinking.
But wait, if we are outsourcing that lateral thinking, if this chaotic brainstormer is the one connecting aerospace to agriculture, doesn't this make human creativity kind of obsolete?
That's a very common fear, yeah.
I mean, if the machine can mathematically map a million combinations in a minute, where do you and I even fit into the creative process anymore?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the machine's ability to map those combinations actually makes human creativity more critical, not less.
Really? How does that work?
Because the AI doesn't have lived experience. It doesn't feel the frustration of a poorly designed user interface.
Oh, that makes sense. It's just math to the AI.
Exactly. It doesn't understand the ethical constraints of a community. It has no budget limitations, and it definitely doesn't know what it feels like to be a human being interacting with a physical product.
So out of those 10,000 ideas it generates, most of them are probably useless.
Oh, totally. 9,000 of them might be physically impossible, socially tone deaf, or financially ruinous.
Right, right. Because navigating a mathematical map of words doesn't mean it understands the physics or, like, the human emotion behind those words.
Precisely. That is why human judgment, originality, and context remain the ultimate bottleneck. The goal isn't to have the AI substitute your creativity. The goal is combination.
I like that. Yeah. Combination.
Yeah, you provide the constraints. You provide the empathy. The AI provides the volume and those unexpected vectors. You are the curator.
You have to look at the output and say, okay, this part is impossible, but the underlying premise solves our problem in a way we never considered.
Exactly. You find the diamond in the rough.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because if we look at the cognitive science of how humans work, generating an idea from zero is just exhausting.
It's the worst. Staring at a blank page is so intimidating.
It really is. But reacting to an idea, we are highly optimized for that. Think about when someone asks you, what do you want for dinner?
Oh, my mind always goes blank.
Right. It's paralyzing. But if they say, hey, should we get Thai, Mexican, or Italian? Your brain instantly engages.
Yeah, you immediately say, well, not Italian. We had pasta yesterday. But maybe something spicy like Thai.
Exactly. You didn't generate the options, but you curated them based on context.
That is a perfect encapsulation of how AI changes our digital workflow. It completely obliterates the blank page.
So it's basically giving us the menu of options.
Right. The most practical digital insight for anyone preparing for the future of work is to stop trying to generate from absolute zero.
Just don't even start with a blank page anymore.
Don't do it. If you have a project, use the AI to generate 5 wildly different structural outlines. It is exponentially easier for the human brain to critique, refine, and edit a flawed draft than it is to conjure a perfect draft out of thin air.
We are shifting our cognitive energy from generation to evaluation, which makes total sense. But let's move this out of the abstract. What does this actually look like in practice?
Let's talk about a real-world example.
Yeah. Consider a scenario of a student startup team we've analyzed. This team was highly motivated, determined to build a digital platform to reduce electronic waste on university campuses.
A great goal, but a tough market.
Super tough. And they hit a massive wall. They couldn't agree on a viable business model.
Yeah.
Every single idea felt either too expensive, too complex, or just completely unoriginal. They were entirely deadlocked.
It's a classic bottleneck. When humans brainstorm in a group, we tend to anchor onto the first few ideas suggested.
Oh, absolutely.
And social dynamics often prevent us from exploring truly weird alternatives. We don't want to sound foolish in front of our peers.
Right. So this startup team, they changed their entire trajectory by using AI as a collaborative wedge to break that deadlock.
Yes. And the way they did it is key. They didn't just type in, give us a business idea.
No, they fed the AI their exact constraints. They said, we have a $0 marketing budget, a target audience of college students living in dorms, and the goal is upcycling small electronics.
And then they asked the AI to generate 50 distinct operational models based on that.
50. And because it's that chaotic brainstormer, it just flooded the zone. I imagine some of those ideas were terrible.
Oh, completely terrible. One of the AI's suggestions was essentially setting up a toxic copper smelting operation inside a residential dorm room.
Wow. Okay, yeah, that is a perfect example of the AI lacking real-world safety context.
Exactly. Completely unhinged. Another idea was this bizarre pseudo-dating app where you matched with people based on the brand of broken phone they owned.
That's hilarious. But wait, even those terrible ideas serve a purpose, don't they?
They absolutely do.
Yeah.
Because when the team laid out these 50 concepts, they didn't just laugh at the bad ones and throw them away.
Right.
The human team started doing the critical synthesis that the AI couldn't do. They looked at the weird dating app idea and realized the AI was tapping into a core truth.
Which is that college students are driven by social gamification and networking.
Exactly. Then they looked at another idea about dorm-to-dorm logistics. By combining those two distinct nodes, the human team devised a gamified hardware swap system.
Oh, I see. So students would earn social credits on campus for trading in cords and old devices to engineering students who actually needed the parts.
Yep. They used the AI's probabilistic scattershot to find a pathway they never would have walked down on their own.
So the AI didn't hand them the final business model. It provided this diverse, bizarre, high-volume menu of options.
Right. And then the team applied their human judgment, evaluating viability, safety, campus culture. to sculpt a hybrid idea that actually worked.
It vastly improved their innovation process because it allowed them to just bypass the anxiety of the blank page and jump straight into high-level synthesis.
Which is where human brains really shine.
But, you know, using AI to flood the zone with options creates a new, very modern problem.
What's that?
The temptation to just submit the AI's output as your own. I mean, if you're a tired professional or you're a student facing a midnight deadline and the AI generates a project proposal that sounds like 90% coherent.
The temptation is definitely there.
Right. Why not just copy-paste and go to sleep? How do we draw the line between brainstorming and abdicating our responsibility entirely?
This raises an important question, and it is really the core dilemma of responsible use in the digital age.
It really is.
If you merely copy and paste an AI's output, you are not innovating. You are acting as a passive conduit for a machine.
You're just a middleman.
Exactly. The fundamental rule we have to establish is that AI outputs must always, without exception, be rigorously filtered through human accountability.
Because if it goes wrong, the AI doesn't get fired.
And what doesn't?
The AI doesn't face ethical consequences. You do.
Precisely. Accountability cannot be automated. Furthermore, if we go back to how these language models work, mapping probabilities, they are highly prone to what we call hallucinations.
Right, making things up?
Yeah. They will confidently invent statistics, fabricate historical events, or suggest plausible-sounding technical solutions that are fundamentally flawed.
Like the dorm room copper smelting.
Exactly. If you don't do the hard work of verifying and refining that output, you are seriously risking your professional reputation.
You have to ask yourself, does this align with my values? Is this factually true? Does this actually solve the specific nuances of the problem at hand?
It's all about maintaining your authenticity.
Right. The AI provides the raw, unshaped clay, but you have to do the sculpting. If you strip away the human friction, the editing, the refining, the agonizing over context, you lose the soul of the work.
It just becomes generic.
Exactly. So what does this all mean for building actual digital confidence? Let's talk about the mechanics of how you, listening right now, can start building these collaborative habits today.
The first step is to start treating these digital tools not as search engines, but as interactive thought partners.
I love that. Thought partners.
And that means expanding your toolkit beyond standard text-based chatbots. For instance, tools like Gamma AI are fundamentally changing how we approach structure.
Right. I've seen Gamma. It's wild.
It is. Gamma doesn't just write text. It analyzes the semantic structure of your prompt and automatically maps it to a visual hierarchy.
So it understands pacing.
Yes. It allows you to rapidly generate the structural flow of a presentation. It gives you a visual scaffolding to react to.
And for visual problem solving, there are tools like Canva Magic Design. I really want to emphasize how this works under the hood because it's not just pasting clip art together.
No, not at all.
It actually tokenizes visual elements. It understands the mathematical relationship between negative space, color palettes, and text weight.
Which is incredible.
Yeah. So if you need to visualize a marketing concept for that e-waste startup we talked about, the AI can generate a dozen visually balanced layouts instantly.
But again, you don't use them as final posters.
Right. You use them as structural starting points to see what visual tone fits your audience.
Then there is the incredible utility of semantic clustering with tools like Miro AI.
This one is a game changer for teams.
It really is. If you have a team throwing hundreds of digital sticky notes onto a whiteboard during a brainstorming session, finding the patterns is a massive cognitive load.
It takes hours just to organize them.
Exactly. But Miro AI measures the semantic distance between the words on those notes. If one note says battery life and another says charging speed, it mathematically recognizes their proximity in that high-dimensional space we talked about earlier.
And it just automatically clusters them into a thematic group.
In seconds. It organizes the chaos, allowing the human team to immediately start analyzing the themes rather than just sorting digital paper.
Wow. So here is a tangible challenge for you listening to put this into practice today. Take a current problem you are wrestling with.
Could be anything.
Yeah. Maybe it's a structural issue in a paper you're writing, a logistical hurdle in a project at work, or even just planning a complex travel itinerary. Open an AI tool and explicitly ask it for 5 completely different unconventional ways to approach the problem.
Tell it to play devil's advocate.
Yes. Let it generate the raw material. But here is the crucial second step. Close the AI window.
Do not look at it while you write.
Exactly. Take the concepts that sparked something in your brain and manually refine them yourself. synthesize the ideas using your own voice, your own constraints, and your own lived experience.
That is how you build true digital confidence. You learn the rhythm of collaborating with the machine without surrendering your ownership of the final product.
You use it to expand your horizons, but you rely on your human insight to determine what is actually valuable.
Absolutely.
If you want to put this into practice right now, the study guide we've put together for this module doesn't just recap these points. It has some amazing interactive templates to help you run these exact AI brainstorming sessions.
Whether you're working solo or with a team.
Right. I highly recommend diving into those workbook activities because this isn't a skill you learn by just listening. It's a muscle you build through experimentation.
And if you find the underlying philosophy of this shift as fascinating as we do, the reference materials that informed our broader understanding of this topic are incredibly valuable.
Definitely worth checking out.
Creative Confidence by Tom and David Kelly, published in 2013, remains a foundational text on unlocking human creative potential.
A classic.
Then there's Co-Intelligence by Ethan Mollick from 2024, which provides a brilliant, highly relevant look at the mechanics of working alongside AI. And finally, The Lean Startup by Eric Ries from 2011 really codified the cycle of rapid experimentation and iteration that AI now allows us to accelerate.
Great recommendations. As we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over.
Let's hear it.
We've established that AI is rapidly democratizing the ability to generate ideas. Soon, every single person in your industry, your class, or your company will have an engine capable of producing 100 perfectly competent ideas a minute.
The baseline of productivity is going to skyrocket.
Right. So when generating a good idea is no longer a competitive advantage because it's practically free, what becomes the ultimate human commodity?
It won't be generation.
No, it will be taste.
That is a profound realization. Your ability to look at a sea of artificially generated competence and recognize the one weird, emotionally resonant, beautifully human spark.
That is what will define your success. Taste, judgment, and the courage to advocate for a specific vision will be the most valuable skills in the future workplace.
I couldn't agree more.
Stay curious. Don't let the technology intimidate you, but don't blindly trust it either. Cultivate your taste. Stay responsible and stay future ready. Thank you for spending this time with us.
Thank you. Keep experimenting, and we'll see you next time.